This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You know what that song means. It's time again for Everything Under the Sun here on KDNK. I'm your host of the week, Raleigh Burley, and joined in studio by youth journalist Arthur Cherith.
Hello.
Hello, Arthur. Let's fix your microphone there.
Hello.
That's better.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
And our guest today is Emily Williams, who is very recently in the role of Education and Outreach Manager for CLEAR, which is the Clean Economy Region. Give it to us, Emily.
It's the Clean Energy Economy for the Region.
Clean Energy Economy for the Region. We love CLEAR. CLEAR does amazing work here throughout the whole valley. And the latest is this Two Rivers Connect program, which Emily told me before we got on the air already has 600 people signed up, plus three. We were out there signing ourselves up, as well as Chris Hassig, who works here at the station. And Two Rivers Connect isn't just an initiative from CLEAR. There are a lot of partners involved. So just right out the gates, why don't we give some mention to some of the people who are a part of this, and then we'll talk about what it is.
Yeah, awesome. I would love to shout out the City of Glenwood Springs, Garfield Clean Energy, CDOT Rafter, the Garfield County Libraries, the Chambers of Commerce throughout Garfield County, the Glenwood Springs Downtown Development Authority, and the Colorado River Economic Development Partnership, who are helping us launch Two Rivers Connect. So thanks to all of those wonderful folks.
That's a lot of partners.
Yeah. It's really cool to be working on this project with lots of regional support, so I'm really grateful for all of them.
Well, for the folks who haven't found Mickey Jones' article in the Soper Sun yet, or who haven't been reached through, I know that's been on social media, I've seen it in other papers, I've heard it called out on KDNK in underwriting. Why don't you give us a brief synopsis of what Two Rivers Connect is all about?
Absolutely. Two Rivers Connect is a program that encourages residents, commuters, employers, and visitors in the Colorado River and Roaring Fork Valleys to explore new ways of getting around. So we're asking people to think about how they get around and consider whether they could switch some of those trips to use alternative modes of transportation. So, yeah, do you ride the bus? Do you walk? Do you bike? Can you carpool or do you work from home? Those are all wonderful ways to reduce single occupancy vehicles on our roads. And we want to reward people for doing that. So we have lots of prizes and incentives too. Maybe a fun place to start. How do you both get around?
Well, I've moved a lot over the past 9 years or so since I moved back to the Valley. So it really depends. You know, when I was living up in Emma, it was pretty hard to get to bus, and it was a long bike ride, so I was driving more often into Carbondale. Now I'm living downtown, renting a room in a house, and there will be weeks that I don't get in my car at all, and I'm able to just bike everywhere, which I really appreciate. So it's really dependent a bit on where I'm residing at the time. How about you, Arthur?
I ride the bus very frequently, but recently, I just got a bike that I get to fix up. So, yeah, so that's going to be a game changer. Another mode of transportation that I use very frequently is Downtowner, which I know is pretty prevalent here. But, yeah.
But also those, quite new.
So that's been, I don't have my license yet. So that's what I've been relying on. And, you know, it's been really, really great and accessible and since I was a kid. So.
Shout out to the trustees, because I think the Downtowner program has been really successful and a lot of people are using it.
Yeah, there are lots of really awesome examples. They're called First Mile, Last Mile Solutions. So the Downtowner, Ride Glenwood, Basalt Connect, Aspen Downtowner, whatever it's called in your local region. And then There's also WeCycle is a great first mile, last mile solution. I was just reading some feedback from participants, and someone was saying how they were able to use WeCycle to connect up to Aspen Valley Hospital when they take the bus. And so they get off at that Hallam on 8th Street and then are able to use the WeCycle e-bikes in the summer. Mm-hmm. And they really liked having that option.
And does Two Rivers Connect get that nitty-gritty? Does it track things like downtown or ridership, or if people are using WeCycle as opposed to a personal bicycle?
We link on the Two Rivers Connect platform, we link to all of those first mile, last mile solutions. So you can go on and it'll take you directly to the downtowner and offer it as an option. And yeah, you can track that you use that too, which is really fun to see people using those and getting rewarded for doing it.
Yeah, you used a magic word earlier, which was prizes. Tell us about some of the prizes people could win.
Totally. So we have weekly prize drawings as well as some grand prizes. Our grand prizes include an e-bike, which is a really fun prize. I'm excited to find out where that goes at the end of the month. We also have some wonderful prizes that are like gift cards to Bristlecone, or the Rifle Climbing Center donated a 2-week membership. And in the app, you can choose what you apply your points to. So you earn points for alternative trips that you take, and then you can go in and select the raffle items that you want, and then we raffle off prizes. I just gave away a $100 Paradise Bakery gift card to someone today. Ooh. And he was telling me that he's going to save it and buy a cookie cake for his birthday. So shout out to Blake on that one.
Sweet. I want to be invited to Blake's birthday.
Right?
Yeah. So we're really excited about the prizes and super grateful to all the local partners who have donated prizes. You can go see the full list either on Two Rivers Connect or on our website as well. But yeah, Hot Springs tickets, yeah, there are lots of really awesome ones.
Is there an age restriction on who can use this? And do you have to be 16 or can you be 14? Is it at any age?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think we have an age restriction. I don't think any of our prizes, we've tried to get prizes that are good for everyone. I know we had a couple tickets to car that were 21 and over for those. But yeah, we don't have an age restriction right now. I should double check. But
Well, I've just seen WeCycle particularly become super popular with high schoolers, middle schoolers, and I could see something like this, an opportunity to get a $100 cookie cake, appealing to some high schoolers.
And we've been in conversation with both Roaring Fork School District and Aspen School District to think about, is there a way we can get students involved in designing incentives programs specifically for them? Mm-hmm. And there's lots of traffic that happens around schools, but also, middle schoolers and high schoolers who aren't able to drive are really good at finding alternative modes of transportation. I spent this last year substitute teaching at Carbondale Middle School, and they know how to get around without a car. They'll carpool, they'll ride their bikes, they'll walk, use the downtowner. It's really awesome. We should all be looking to the youth for our leadership.
What are your thoughts about that, Arthur?
I think that can be really, really helpful because teen driving can be really, really dangerous. And one problem in some places when you aren't close to public transportation, a lot of teenagers will try to carpool and ride with other teenagers, whether that be illegally, before they've had their license for 6 months. And either way, it's just not safe, being in the car with your friends. It's easy to be distracted and, it's carpooling is one thing, but teenagers carpooling is a whole other. And I think that public transportation is a really safe and efficient way for teens to get around and problem solve. So,
yeah. And I think one of the things we're really excited about is getting people involved in the conversation of what does getting around in this valley look like? And where do we need more solutions and more options?
Right.
Carbondale's really lucky we have WeCycle, and I know WeCycle's expanding into Glenwood in the next few years. But what are those options we want to exist, and how can we make sure they exist for everybody who wants them?
Mm-hmm. Emily, you might know this, and it just occurred to me we could have included in the article, but RAFTA is about to do like a free ridership.
Yeah, right? RAFTA has free ridership. I think it's October and November. I'd want to double check that. Uh-huh. But yeah, I'm really excited to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And removing that barrier of having to pay for RAFTA, I'm super interested. I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So on the back end of all of this, I mean, is this data that's informing studies that will then be applied toward policy? Like, what's the ultimate goal of tracking the habits? I know also to incentivize people to change their habits and to get out of their cars and on a bicycle or on a bus. But is it, I suppose, also useful for other reasons outside that?
Totally. We are looking at creating what's called a transportation management organization. There have been a lot of studies over the last few years in this region about what we can do about traffic and congestion. And traffic is a really, really hard problem to solve. It's always easy to get in your own car and drive somewhere. And there's always probably somebody else who would drive if you didn't. So thinking about what regionally are those solutions and those levers we can use to change that. So we're looking at what would it look like to have a transportation management organization in this region? And what are the programs and services that that could provide? I'm not sure that... Will you remind me of your question again?
Well, yeah, just wondering too, because it's a lot of data. So whether that data will be informing future strategies too.
Totally. There's a lot of data that already exists. Mm-hmm. CDOT has a lot of data. It's wild to look at it. There's something like 29,300 vehicles passed by that Walmart light in Glenwood during the month of June. Every day during the month of June, which was a record high. So traffic continues to increase across the region. There's also other data that looks at origin destination studies. So thinking about where people are traveling, we were talking a little bit before about where people are going across the region. During rush hour, 50% of traffic in Glenwood is passing through. That means generally it's starting west of Glenwood in the Colorado River Valley and traveling somewhere in the Roaring Fork Valley, which means that we need these region-wide efforts that address it rather than the county boundaries kind of make things tough. But people are traveling long distances in this valley. We know that, and therefore we need to have these regional approaches to solving it.
I've heard it described as almost like one city, but that's, you know, spatially spread out into these different townships. But the dynamics of the valley is very cohesive, and yet each place is unique.
Totally.
Any other transportation stats you want to throw out?
Yeah, I can add some other transportation stats. Here are some fun ones. Between 2013 and 2023, that light at Glenwood, the Walmart Blake Avenue light, had an increase in traffic of 23%. Wow. Over that same time period, there's a traffic counter that's just west of Silt on I-70, and that had a 33% increase. So there's like... traffic is just broadly increasing across our region. Mm-hmm. There are similar increases up valley too. There's a counter in just by the old Snowmass light. And that also has shown, I don't have that number off the top of my head, but that's also shown approximately a 20% increase over that time period. And, you know, you add that to the fact that RAFTA has increasing ridership every year. Mm-hmm. Like, people are already choosing alternatives to driving and sitting in their car. And it's clear that we need more efforts as well.
Yeah, there was a study. It was, like, using cell phone tracking, and it was looking at movement in the valley. And I think it was based around Glenwood Springs a few years ago. But that was also showing... a surprising amount of commuting into Glenwood Springs for people to work there as well.
Yeah, Glenwood's fascinating because it has these kind of three different traffic patterns. It has people who are commuting into Glenwood and ending their journey at Glenwood. It has people who are leaving Glenwood to work somewhere else, mostly up valley. And then it has this pass-through traffic as well. Mm-hmm. So like reaching out to employers in the region like Valley View and finding out, you know, where are your employees coming from? What problems do they face? And the city and county are also big employers in Glenwood, and they have a lot of people coming in from the Colorado River Valley. And then as you think of people who leave, who live in Glenwood, who leave, 84% of those travel up valley to up valley communities. There are a few people who live in Glenwood and work in Rifle. Mm-hmm. Those people exist too, the anti-commuters. And I think, you know, I've personally seen more of my friends living in Carbondale and working in Glenwood because they'd rather anti-commute because it just saves so much time. Mm-hmm. So people are creative and they come up with their own solutions too, but it's great to have a little bit of help to do that as well.
Yeah, and imagining for people who might be in service or construction, traveling from Parachute to Aspen, how that can easily be like 3 hours on top of your workday, just in a transportation.
Totally. And some of those people can change what they do, like how they get around, but there's also people who can't change how they get around because they need their tools and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so we're not saying it's just about commuting. It's also thinking about, what are you doing in town? How are you getting to the grocery store? How are you going to your friends' houses? What are those small opportunities to change how you're getting around that then makes things better for other people? It's like a giant collective action problem, and we need collective solutions to make it better. Because, yeah, sitting in traffic sucks.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to ask, what got you into this specifically? Like, what's your background? What's your involvement in this?
Totally. I have a background in education and environmental education. My undergraduate degree is actually in geology, and I have a master's in environmental communication. I love being outside, and I love living in this region because of that. I think that's something that brings a lot of people to live here. And so I'm really grateful for those reasons to be living here. I recently started 3 months ago at CLEAR, so this is, transportation is a new topic for me, but I think transportation contributes a large amount of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and so like figuring out how we reduce the emissions from our transportation is a really, really important thing.
Right. Yeah. Overall, what is the, because I know you said, like, you know, helping with commuting and stuff like that, but what is the overall, like, goal of CLEAR? What is the overall...
CLEAR's mission?
Yeah, exactly.
Great question. CLEAR's mission is to connect people around the, like, clean energy. So we have three main program streams. We work on buildings, we work on renewable energy, and we work on transportation, and mainly focused in Garfield County. We also provide the programs and services for Garfield Clean Energy, which is a government collaborative formed with the six municipalities in Garfield County. So that's Carbondale, Glenwood, Newcastle, Rifle, Silt, and Parachute, mm-hmm. along with CMC, the Garfield County Libraries, RAFTA, and Holy Cross. And that's a really cool collaborative that then can like build these climate targets together.
Mm-hmm. Especially like Raleigh said before, with, you know, the whole valley being like a city broken into different parts, it's like a big bike chain. Everything goes around and comes back around, and I think being able to have that big of an area, you know, being able to be tackled is critical, because a lot of people are coming out of, you know, coming from down valley and working up valley, or going from up valley and working down valley, and it's a big, everybody's going back and forth, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the distribution.
Totally. And I think when you think about that, it's also about access to resources, you know, like the bus services between Glenwood and Aspen are really strong. Mm-hmm. Like, what could that look like in the future to have better transit options throughout the whole region, including the Colorado River Valley? But it's also connected to so many other issues. It's hard to talk about this without also talking about, people need housing that's close to where they live, mm-hmm. so that they don't have to drive long distances. Yeah. And that's not something that we're focused on right now, but there are lots of like common areas where this comes into play. People also need meaningful jobs near where they live. So that could look like more jobs in the Colorado River Valley region in addition to jobs higher up in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Even just social activities like Arthur's first story was about drifters in Newcastle, which is becoming kind of a social scene with open mic nights and different activities so people can feel that social cohesion that they might come to Carbondale for because there's a lot happening, but to create it in their own community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that is just, it comes with people being out and about, and it comes with people walking around and being where they are. And you see that a lot in Carbondale. You see a lot of people constantly walking their dogs, you know, out and about. You know, people are having conversations just on the sidewalk, catching up with old friends. Like, Down Valley, there's not as much of that. As wonderful as Down Valley is, there isn't as much of transportation per, you know, accessible bikes. I forget the name of them, but you know, the bikes are
the WeCycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Service.
And it definitely, you know, being able to have accessibility to really get out, go on walks, you know, travel in different ways, it brings a lot of people together, which is one of the reasons that this is so great coming into, you know, Garfield County.
Yeah, I think the carpooling feature is really awesome for that. Thinking about, like, lots of people already have access to a personal vehicle.
Yeah.
And then they can say, I'm traveling from Rifle to Glenwood. And, you know, post that carpool, and then it will allow someone else to join them. And that uses something we already have, a resource that we already have, and then connects people to that. And even if it's just, like, talking to your coworkers about how do you get to work, and then being like, oh, could we carpool? There's some of that, like, casual part of it in addition to the, like, more organized part on the platform. It's also fun to think about. I grew up in the UK, and my dad commuted on the train every day into London, and he had the people who he called his train friends. The people who took the same train every day. And, you know, I don't know that I see that on the buses here. Maybe that's an American thing that, you know, you don't talk to anyone on the bus. But it's nice to have these kind of venues where you can interact with people, like, that you might not normally come across if you were just sitting in your car by yourself.
And with carpooling too, you know, that alone is a really good social opportunity to get to know people who are, you know, living in the same areas that you're living, having similar experiences. That alone is, like, grounds for people to make meaningful connections. And on buses, I've ridden the bus enough times that I have become pretty familiar with, like, some of the bus drivers, especially, like, on the circular. I have some, you know, some guys who are like, hey, you know, don't even know each other's names, but it's just, like, familiar, and you recognize people, and you get those meaningful, you know, it can feel little at times, but, you know, when you become familiar with people, you get that wave and you just get that recognition, like, hey, I see you as a person, you know?
Yeah, that moment of community connection. Absolutely. It's really special.
Mm-hmm.
I also, sorry, go ahead, Riley.
Well, we were just on the topic of carpooling, and I was sort of gleaning from this article that Mickey wrote that maybe Two Rivers Connect has this function of helping employers talk to each other or, like, get carpool networks going. Is that true? Or
So one of the things we've come across with carpooling is that people like to know something about the people that they're carpooling with. So one of the ways that this app uses it is you can create networks within the Two Rivers Connect app. So you could have an employer like Valley View that has a network, and then you can post your carpool to either everybody or just the Valley View network, which helps with some of that, like, wanting to carpool with someone you kind of know. But maybe it's someone, Valley View has, I think it's like 1,600 employees. So there's likely someone who lives near you who maybe works in a different department that you've never met. And then you could connect with them through this. And it just helps with that feeling that, like, you know, it's someone...
Something familiar.
Familiar that you kind of know, which I think is really cool. But yeah, employers are a huge, that also takes away one of the barriers because you're ending at the same place if you're working at the same place.
Right.
Some of our Clear employees have been extra incentivized to carpool too. It's been fun. We, in the office, we were like, if you carpool, we will get you a Bonfire gift card. And on the days you carpool, you can buy yourself a coffee.
Cool.
Which has been really fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, we're an organization that is committed to clean energy. And, like, yeah, some of our employees drive their personal vehicles because that's the most efficient way that they get to work. But then also hearing about the conversations that people have on their journeys and, like, building that relationship. I'm sure there are some people who would say that's not a benefit to building, to, you know, having to carpool with a coworker. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really cool benefit. I worked at Aces for a long time, and we had a lot of kind of casual carpooling where, you know, we knew where the folks who lived near us and would often try and carpool up to Aspen, just, you know, hanging out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win, especially if you get a gift certificate out of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
We are rapidly approaching the end of our time here. We've got about 2 minutes left. So Emily Williams, Education and Outreach Manager with CLEAR. I think the crucial piece for us to mention is how people can download the app. And then maybe we talk about how long this service will be operating, and then whatever else you want to add.
Awesome. Yeah. You can download the app from the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. Type in Two Rivers Connect and you should find it there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Two Rivers Connect. There's also a web platform if you're not an app person, and you can go in and log your trips. You can backlog trips that you've taken throughout August, and you can also record trips as you're going around. I think I forgot to mention that you can also say that you worked remotely. That's another option that, you know, we've talked to employers about, like, do you offer remote days? Like, could you offer more? Because that then helps people be in the communities where they live, and also reduces the number of cars on the road. In the app, you can post your carpools, and then once you've earned points, you can go into the rewards tab and select those prizes, and we are doing prize drawings, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. And then it says here until the end of 2026, or continue through 2026, so this will be rolling for a while, right?
Yeah, we're starting with just this four-week August pilot, and then we're going to collect feedback and come back with future programs, too. We're excited to think about, like, what does a school program look like? What does getting to the ski hill in the winter look like? And then thinking about programming in 2026 as well. But, yeah, join us.
How much fun. I love it. Thanks so much, Emily. And thank you, Arthur, for joining us today as well.
Thank you, guys.
I want to encourage listeners to stay tuned for the regional roundup coming up next. This has been Everything Under the Sun. I'm Raleigh Burley. And stay cool out there. Carpool.
Thank you.